Hope you're all are doing good. So by God's grace, God has still counted us among the living, and God has given us yet another opportunity to prove our faithfulness to Him. So from past a few days, we've been studying the sixth volume, the third chapter, The Call of the New Creation. So last time we studied about the cause or ground of our justification. We saw how the various scriptures mentions about various types of various reasons that why we are justified. So today we'll be continuing from page number 106. Okay. So here, a lot of scriptures are being considered. And what are the various, you see, aspects about the scriptures? What are the views and comments our given by our elder brother is mentioned here. So as we have, these points are quite repeatedly mentioned, in the sense that it is elaborately mentioned. We have tried to conscience and try to figure it out today as much as maximum we can finish it. We'll try to finish it off this part of justification. Okay. Now, first of all, can somebody read page number 106, the last paragraph, fourth, we the church from that point. So Joel brother can't read. So it will be Ashish brother, Gopal brother, and Romy and Amar brother.
All right, brother.
Okay, Gopal brother.
Now, fourthly, we, the church, are justified by faith in the sense that the Lord's provision is not for an actual justification or restitution of any during this age, but for merely a reckon, our faith restitution, and this, of course, can apply only to those who will exercise the faith. Neither our faith nor our unbelief can have anything whatever to do with the divine arrangements which God purposed in himself and has been carrying forward and will accomplish in due time. But our preparation in this favors profit us in advance of the world does depend upon our faith. During the millennial age, the length and breadth of the knowledge plan of salvation will be manifested to all. The kingdom of God will be established in the world. And he who redeem mankind and who has been empowered to bless all with a knowledge of truth will actually justify or restore to perfection as many as desire and will accept the divine favor on the divine terms.
Okay, now this paragraph covers that we are justified by faith. We means what? The church. So with the scripture, let us read the scripture in Romans 5th chapter, 1st verse. So I request Brother Amar or Sister Romy to read all the verses. Is it possible, Sister or Brother? Can you read? Romans,
Romans
5th chapter, 1st verse.
Brother?
Romans 5:1.
Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Very good, sir. So here the scripture says that we have peace with God, that we are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. So here, the church, you see, the little flock, they are justified by faith. So this is not applicable to the whole world, but this is applicable to the little flock, you see, of the gospel age, who walk by faith and not by sight. So this faith, you see, that gives us a standing, you see, before God, where we can stand perfect, recurrently perfect, not really perfect. You see, God considers us as perfect. This is just because we have faith on God. And in the kingdom, what will be the conditions? In the kingdom, you see, the conditions won't be in such a way. In the kingdom, the criteria, the more importance won't be given to faith. Although faith is necessary, but there, you see, works will be more important. But now, we are justified only by faith. That means nothing really happens. You see, this is all understood that we are justified. We are understood that God forgives our sins. This is based on our, you see, trust and faith on the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. Next paragraph. Okay, Brother Ashish, can you read, Brother? You're inside the house. You can read.
Brother, it's better if the brethren are engaged. I'm quite unable now, brother.
Okay, thank you, Ashish, not a show. Okay, Gopal brother, then you can read. Okay.
Okay, brother. True faith
Okay.
may even then be said to be essential to restitution, progress toward actual justification. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And because the restitution, blessings, and rewards will be bestowed along lines that will demand faith, but the faith that will then be required for progress and restitution will differ very much from the faith now required on those called to be saints, joined heirs with Jesus, new creatures. When the kingdom of God shall be in control and Satan bound and the knowledge of the Lord caused to fill the earth, these fulfillments of divine promises will be recognized by all. And thus, sight or knowledge will grasp actually much that is now recognizable only by the eye of faith. But faith will be needed, nevertheless, that they may go on unto perfection, and thus the actual justification obtainable by the close of the millennial will be attained only by those who will persistently exercise faith and works. Although of that time it is written, the dead shall be judged out of the books according to their works, as in contradiction to the present judgment of the church according to your faith. Yet their work will not be without faith, even as our faith must not be without works to the extent of our ability.
Thank you, brother. So, faith. You see, what about the faith in the 1,000 years when the restoration is going to happen, when everything is going to be restored in the Christ 1,000 years? How will faith be exercised there? You see, there, you see, the thing that will happen there is that the actual justification will happen. What do you mean by actual justification? You see, actual justification means as you exercise your faith, you see, there will be physical transformation in your, you see, perfection. All mankind will be raised from the dead. You see, when they are raised, they will actually come back in the same situation as they died. So as they exercise faith in Christ's kingdom, as they receive more and more knowledge, they have to make amendments in their life. They have to make corrections in their life. They have to change themselves. You see, they have to come into the likeness of Christ. So as they come near by near into the likeness of Christ, you see, they will have changes in their, you see, physical nature. That means what? Their bodily transformation will be brought back to the human perfection. You see, what all imperfections are there in their body? You see, what all deformities are there in their body? All those things, changes will happen. You see, like for example, Jesus did a lot of miracles. You see, he healed the blind, he healed the deaf. You see, sometimes, you see, the person who was with palsy, you see, a withered hand, they were restored back. But to what extent they were restored? Were they actually restored to the human perfection in which Adam was there? No. You see, no, they were not restored to that perfection. Only the certain diseases that were there in their body, you see, only those things were cured. Like, for example, a blind man was healed means his blindness was healed, that's all. Not that the entire diseases which came due to the sin of Adam, that inherited sin, not all those things were completely cured. They were still in his body. Now, why did God leave that one? You see, because, you see, they had to show faith, you see, based on the so many things and the blessings and the miracles which they had received. Even in the Christ kingdom, it will be the same way. As a man dies, the same way he'll be raised. He'll be having all the imperfections in him. You see, But then, what will happen? Satan will be bound. The knowledge of the Lord shall fill the whole earth as the waters covers the sea. So knowledge will be given abundance. Motivate them to increase them, to increase their faith. And as their faith increases day by day, what they have to do? They have to show changes in their character. You see, and as they show little bit of changes in their character, the physical transformation will happen. This is called as actual justification. This will happen in Christ's kingdom. You see, then everybody will have to live by sight, not by faith. You see, they will see their neighbor, you see, getting transformed. You see, their gray hairs will become black hairs. You see, their old age will return back to the days of the youth. And seeing this one, it will encourage the other human beings also to show perfection. Sorry, should show obedience to God and thus come back to perfection. You know, today, a lot of people spend a lot of money. Why? You see, to maintain that, you see, beauty, you see, and to maintain that age, the young age in them, especially the great film actors and all, they insured so many things. Why? Because they want to always retain that, you see, the beauty and the glory, you see, and the brightness and you see, the things they had when they were youth. Imagine in Christ's kingdom, if this is given as an incentive, if you show obedience, actual justification will come and actually will become perfection. So that will be a great incentive for each and every mankind to walk ahead in the, you see, highway of holiness. So hence, now it is according to our faith. Sometimes Jesus did miracles, you know, but sometimes he mentioned a particular verse, according to your faith, let it be so. You see, so same way it applies to us in the gospel age. As much as we exercise faith, you see, the more we exercise faith, the more we get the blessings. The less we exercise the faith, you see, the lesser the blessings. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let it be now or let it be in his kingdom. So both are same. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph. Can you read, brother? Oh, Amar brother or Romy sister, are you able to read?
I'll read, brother.
Good sister, thank you. How is brother Amar?
I'm recovering slowly, but
good.
Still the cough is quite bad.
Okay, good. Okay, sister, please read, sister.
Okay, brother. The apostle declaration that the God will justify heathen through faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. It's shown by the context is signified that the reconciliation by restitution will not come as a result of the law covenant, but by the grace under the term of the new covenant, which must be believed in, accepted, and compiled with by all who would benefit by it. A difference between present and future justification is that the consecrated of the present time are upon the exercise of proper faith, granted instantly fellowship with the Father through the reckoned justification by faith. Whereas the exercise of obedient faith under the more favorable condition of the next is will not bring reckoned justification at all and will affect actual justification and fellowship with God only at the close of millennium. The world in the
interim
will be in the hand of the great mediator whose work it will be represent to them. The divine will be will and to deal with them correctly and restoring such as obey until he shall have actually justified them, at which time he will present them faultless before the Father. When about to deliver up his kingdom of God, even the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24.
Thank you, sir. So here, what are the conditions in which the whole mankind will be justified in the kingdom? It says they will not be justified on the terms of the law covenant. Okay, if they're not justified by terms of the law covenant, so on what basis are they justified? It says on the basis of the new covenant. What is this new covenant? It is not going to be a separate something that is new that is going to come. But it is the same old law covenant that will be given to the whole world of mankind, but through a new mediator. You see, there's only changes that is going to happen in the law covenant and the, you see, new covenant. So originally, this law covenant was given by God through Moses at Mount Sinai. And when Moses came and gave this covenant to the whole people of Israel, everybody agreed, whatever the Lord tells, we will do. Actually, God was initially communicating to the people. But when they could not bear his sound and the earthquake and the trembling and the trumpet sound and all, that is the time that people, you see, requested Moses that you speak to God and you communicate, you see, all the things which God wants to speak to us. And we will all agree to all the conditions. Hence, Moses was made the mediator between God and man. Moses was the mediator. So what is the purpose of the mediator? You see, it is like a broker. I think you have in your place, if you go to any RTO department, RTO means for transport department, for your license or anything, for registration of a new vehicle. You see, if you go to the department directly, will they do the work smoothly? No. They will tell, bring this document, bring the document. So many people will get fed up and they will take a broker. You see, broker will take certain bit of commission, but yet he will do our job very fast. The same way it was with Moses. What was the duty of the broker? The broker has to see that a customer, you see, submits all the document. And the broker has to see that the officer does the work properly, very fastly, without any hesitance. So he is the mediator between the officer and the, you see, the customer. The same way, you see, God wanted to deal with the people, but the people requested that let it be through Moses, hence God appointed Moses. So Moses' duty was to check whether God and the people were abiding by the, you see, terms and conditions of the covenant. So there's no need to watch about God because he is faithful. He never changes. There's nothing that he does to violate. He's always faithful. But it was the responsibility of Moses to see that the people of Israel agree, abide by the terms and conditions of the law covenant. But unfortunately, none of the people, you see, could keep the law because they were already fallen. None of them could afford to keep the law. Even though they tried the level best, they could not keep it. You see, hence, Moses' work was a failure. He himself could not do it. Why? Because he himself could not keep the law. How can he teach others to keep the law? Hence, that law covenant failed. Now, what is God doing? God is giving a new law covenant. You see, 1 minute, I'll tell you to read Hebrews, book of Hebrews. Eighth chapter, verse 7. Who can read? Munna sister, good evening. Can you read, sister? Hebrews 8:7. Okay, you are not able to speak. Okay. Okay, Gopal brother.
I'll read, brother.
Okay, sister, please, please. Please.
Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7.
Hmm.
For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place that been sought for the second.
You see, for if the first covenant been faultless, you see, if there was no fault in the first covenant, why would God give the second covenant? What does it mean? If God has given the second commandment, sorry, second covenant, it means there is some fault in the first covenant. What is the fault? It is given in the next verse. Continues the next verse. Verse 8.
Verse 8. For finding fault with them.
Sufficient. Okay, sir. Thank you. Finding fault with them, not with the covenant, neither with the giver of the covenant. It was with a fault with them, the people of Israel. It was their fault. Hence, the law covenant failed. Now, what God is doing? God is, you see, appointing a better mediator. Read verse 6, sister. Verse 6. Hebrews 8:6.
Sorry, brother.
Hebrews, same chapter, verse 6.
Okay, brother. But now hath he obtained a more excellent mystery, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
See, he is a, you see, mediator of a better covenant. What is the better? The better one thing is that the mediator is changed. So Jesus, he himself kept the law. So hence, he can teach others to keep the law. He can guide others to keep the law. Well, there's a, you see, word. No? Who can develop Apostle Paul? You see, who can develop Apostle Paul? Can we develop, can we make others to be like Apostle Paul? You see, it's not possible from us. But Apostle Paul can develop others to be like Paul. Similarly, Jesus, as he has kept the law, he can guide others and teach others how they also can keep the law. You see, so hence, in Christ's kingdom, it will be based upon this new covenant. Jesus will be there always to support and encourage the people. So, hence, what will happen in Christ's kingdom? The entire 1,000 years, it will be in the mediatorial reign. Hence, it is called as a mediatorial reign. Mediator will be there. He will encourage the people and bring and uplift them, teach them, guide them, encourage them. This will take the entire 1,000 years. It is after the end of 1,000 years that people will be having direct, you see, contact with God. You see, so how is our contact? We have direct access to God. We can call God Abba Father. You see, because we're going through Jesus Christ, justified through Jesus Christ. So our faith has got us standing to stand before God instantly, spot on the spot. As we believe in Jesus, immediately we got access to God. But in Christ's kingdom, no. You have to be with the mediator for 1,000 years. Then only you can come to God. Only when you actually come to perfection. You see, so though in the Christ kingdom, the primary importance will be given to works accompanied with faith. Okay, next paragraph. Gopal brother, can you read? Gopal brother, okay.
Okay, brother. Now the Lord is seeking for a special class to constitute his new creation, and none have been called to that heavenly calling except such as have been brought to a knowledge of God's grace in Christ and been able to accept that divine arrangement by faith, to so fully trust in the grand outcome of God's plan that their faith therein will influence and shape the course of their lives in the present time, and cause them to esteem the life to come as of such paramount value that in comparison the present life and its interest would appear to be but as loss and dross. Exercising faith in the dark time when the prevalence of evil seems to impugns the wisdom, love, and power of the Creator, the Church are reckoned of God as though they had lived during the millennial age and experienced its restitution to human perfection. And this reckoned standing is granted to the extent that they may present in sacrifice that human perfection to which, under divine arrangements, they would by and by attain, that they might thus present their bodies reckonly perfect, and all the restitution privileges, earthly hopes and aims and interests, a living sacrifice, exchanging these for the heavenly hopes and promises of the divine nature and jointly heirship with Christ, to which are attached as proofs of our sincerity, coordinations of sufferings and loss as respects earthly interest and honors of men.
Thank you, brother. So, in the gospel age, to whom this justification is given, if you see, it is the little flock. Now, who are the little flock? The little flock are the people who have come under the conditions, who accepted the terms and conditions of the gospel age. Now, what is the terms and conditions of the gospel age? You see, the terms and conditions of gospel age is not only believe in Jesus and get all the blessings and miracles, you see, and all advantages. No, that is not the terms and conditions of gospel age. What is the terms and conditions of gospel age? Let us read Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29. Romy sister, can you read Philippians 1:29?
Okay, brother. Philippians 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Not only believe or suffer, that means what? Ready to sacrifice everything. You see, when we give out our own preferences, our own rights, that is the time, you see, it costs us something. It gives us pain, you see. But yet, in that pain, if we bear everything quietly, patiently, that is like sacrificing, you see. And that is a sweet aroma to God. And whoever does this important work in the gospel age, only those are considered as a consecrated. Apostle Paul said, no, I consider everything as loss and dross. What did he consider loss and dross? You see, he had all the privileges. You see, he could have used all those things. You see, but for Christ's sake, he left all those things. You see, so this is the condition of the gospel age. Only to these people, the justification is now applied. God considered, okay, you're doing all these things for my sake. Okay, now I'll consider you as sinless. I will consider you to be a holy person. I will consider you to be a sinless person without any blemish. Only consider. Why? So that you may offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. All our earthly privileges, you see, all our aims, hopes, interest, everything has to be sacrificed on the altar of God. You see, so this justification is given to these type of God's children. They are recondly considered, not actually considered, that they are sinless in the God's sight. You see, now this condition, whoever meets, you see, only to them this faith, you see, applies now. But you see, now why does God put such a criteria? Why does God give this test of suffering, sacrifice? Why? You see, because in this one they have to prove their faithfulness to God. Because it's not good, it's not so easy that we show our faithfulness to God when everything is, you see, okay. When everything is as per our vision will, we will definitely show all our obedience to God. But when everything is opposite, when everything is not going as we expected, and everything is opposite to us, that is the time that we need to show our faithfulness to God. So this justification is applicable in the gospel age to these type of God's children. Okay. Now let us read next paragraph. So next paragraph, Robinster, can you read? Is it okay?
Okay, brother.
Okay.
Fifthly, this class now justified by its faith must not expect to deny its faith by willful contrary works. It must know that while God is graciously dealing with them from the standpoint of faith, not imposing their transgression onto them, but continuing them all made by their Redeemer at Calvary, not importing their transgression unto them, but dealing with them according to their spirit or will or intention, and not according to the flesh or actual performances. Nevertheless, he will expect that the flesh will be brought onto the subjection to the new mind so far as possible, so far as life in us, and that it will cooperate in all good works to the extent of its opportunity and responsibilities. In this sense and in this degree, our works have to do with our justification as a corroborative testimony, providing the sincerity of our devotion. Nevertheless, our judgment by the Lord is not according to the work, but according to the faith.
If judged accordingly.
According to our work, we would all be found to come short of the glory of God. But if judged according to our heart, our intention, the new creature can be approved by the divine standard under the terms of the grace covenant, by which the merit of Christ's sacrifice covers their unintentional blemishes, and surely none could object to the Lord's expecting us to bring forth such fruit of righteousness as may be possible for us under present imperfect condition. More than this, he does not ask, and less than this, we should not expect him to accept any reward.
Thank you, sir. So here it says that our faith, you see, and our works, in this one, to what extent that God considers, you see, so is it importance given to more of works? No. God gives more of importance to our intention. You see, intentions means what? actually what really is there in our heart. Like, for example, you see, we would have a kind heart to show love, you see, towards the brothers, you see, as Jesus did. We would always like to be like Jesus, but practically, due to our environmental situations or due to our fleshly weakness, you see, we won't be able to express our love 100 out of 100%. We will fall short of it. And sometimes while trying to express it, you see, we might try to misbehave. Our real intentions, which comes out, which actually might be a misbehavior to somebody else also. And in that case, God sees our intention. What is our intention? What actually did we intend? What was in our mind when we did all these things? So based on that one only, our judgment in the gospel age is happening, rather than how perfectly, how exactly, how good, how beautifully you have behaved in front of everybody. That is not God is going to consider. So it based on intention. So then what does it mean? So what does it mean? Does it mean that we may behave whatever we want and just claim everything that we are good in intentions? No. Whoever are good in intentions, they will try to bring all these things into action also in their life. Like, for example, Apostle Paul, you see, I given this example last two, 3 weeks before also. You see, he wanted to do certain things, but he could not do because his fleshly weakness was not allowing him to do. But what did he do? Did he remain in the same condition forever and ever? No. As he began to grow more and more in knowledge, his faith increased. As his faith increased, his strength increased as a new creature, and he was able to subside, you see, dominate his old creature. 1 Corinthians 9:27. You see, what does he say? After preaching the truth to everybody, you see, lest I fall down, I try to keep my body under subjection. So we should always try to overcome and try to keep our body in the subjection. So it is only to these people that this justification by faith, you see, applies. In this imperfect condition, you see, whatever we try to do, you see, best to our ability, you see, in our action, you see, it is considered as done. You see, handicapped person, you see, can a handicapped person or a disabled person or a person who's born, you see, insane, can we expect perfection from them? No. But whatever best they do, we appreciate it. Why? It is not possible for them to do it from their body. The mind is not cooperating. The organs are not cooperating. But yet, they try to do to the best. That thing is very appreciable. You see, same way with the God is dealing with us as new creation. Okay? So, based on this one only, our reward will be given. You see? So, less than this, if we offer to God, God doesn't accept at all. And we should not be so stingy that we should offer less than this one. It is really grace of God that God has given the opportunity that is based on intentions, is considering, is giving a reward. So that is to be really appreciated. Okay, thank you. So next paragraph, Gopal brother. Can you read, brother? Gopal brother?
Okay, brother. As an illustration of this general operation of justification by grace, by the blood and through our faith, and the relationship of works to the same, consider the electric car service. The one central powerhouse will, to some extent, illustrate the source of our justification, the grace of God. The wire which carries the current will imperfectly represent our Lord Jesus, the Father's agent in our justification. The cars will represent believers, and the trolleys represent the faith, which must be exercised and which must press against the wire. First, everything is dependent upon the electric current. Second, next in importance is the wire which carries the current to us. Third, without the arm of faith to touch and press upon the Lord Jesus, the channel of our justification, we would receive no blessing. Fourth, the blessing received by us from contact with the Lord Jesus would correspond to the lightning of the car with the electric current, indicating that the power is there and can be used. But fifth, the motor man and his liver represent the human will, while sixth, the motor itself represent our activities, our energies under the power which comes to us through faith. All of these powers in combinations are necessary to our progress, that we may make the circuit and ultimately arrive at the car bonds, which in this illustration would correspond to our place as the new creation in our Father's house of many mansions, or conditions for the many sons of many natures.
Okay, thank you, brother. Now, here, Brother Russell gives an example of certain things. Okay, now what is this example? To better understand this one, I will show you an image. So, based on the image, I think you will be able to understand more clarity. 1 minute. Okay. Okay. I hope you are all able to see this one. Everybody can see this electric train? Okay, I'm showing this image because you don't have electric train in Nepal. So, nothing else. See, here there is an electric train. Now, how is this train connected? The train has got an engine, okay? And to run this engine, there is a lever. That means a button that has to be put into start mode. And to move it forward, you need to press the gear levers and change the levers and put it into, a gear mode. So, it will move. And not only that one, how does it receive the current? It is through this wire. And from where the current comes? It comes from the source, the dam. You see, the power source. From the power source, the current comes here. And through this wire, and from this wire, how is it connected to the train? You see, there is a connecting rod here. You see, that brushes against the wire. So, the current flows from the power house through the wire. From this connecting rod, it enters the engine. You see, and from the engine, you see, the lever has to be moved forward for the engine to move. So, in this, if you see, the coordination of everything is important. Just because the power hose always is supplying current doesn't mean that the current will, doesn't mean that the train will automatically move. To move, what has to be done? You see, the current has to come, the wire has to pass the current, and not only one, these connecting rods are there, no? You see, that has to touch the wire. If it's just near the wire, quite far, current will automatically come. No, it has to touch. And then it is to reach the engine. After reaching the engine will automatically start. Automatically get move. What has to be done? The driver has to start the engine. He has to move the lever. Then only it will move forward. Similarly, God is the powerhouse who is supplying His grace, His mercy. You see, whatever you want, He will supply. It is through whom? It is through Jesus Christ, the wire. Then the connecting rod, that is our consecration. You see, we have to surrender ourselves to God. If we don't surrender, if we don't connect to God, automatically we'll be in our imagination. If you think, oh, God is there, I am with God, I am connected to God, I am very near to God. All these things, if we think in our imagination, will we be actually connecting to Jesus? No. To connect to Jesus, we need to surrender ourselves. After surrendering, what? You see, so many people, they consecrate, they surrender to the Lord, but they don't do anything in action. The driver, what he has to do is to start the engine. After starting the engine, it will move. He has to put it into the gear mode, move mode. You see, it has to move. He has to put it into action, change the gear, put accelerator, then it will move forward. What does it mean? You see, not just consecration is sufficient. After consecration, try to implement in your life. Put all the things, whatever you have learned, into action. Until we put everything into action, nothing is of use to us. Jesus said, you know, on verse, what does he say? In Mark, let us read that verse. What does Jesus say? Mark, one minute. Luke 9:23. Can somebody read it? Luke 9:23. Luke 9:23. Who can read? Go for the read.
Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me."
What did he say? Deny himself and take up his cross? When? When?
Daily.
Daily. Underline that word daily. So many people, you see, they bear the cross. They carry the cross, but they don't follow the Lord. Bearing the cross means what? Just put it on the shoulder, sit there only. That's all. I'm bearing the cross. What are you doing after bearing the cross? Move ahead. Jesus bore the cross till the Calvary. We need to bear the cross till our death, not just bear it, think that we are bearing it, we are carrying it, and just sit on the place. No. You see, we should be carriers of cross, not just bearers of cross. Carry it forward. Carry means what? Just bearing means what? Just bearing it and just holding it. Just withstanding it. No. You should be carriers of the cross. Carry it forward. Move it forward. You see, lift it up. Take the responsibility for Christ's sake. When? Not once in a year. When New Year comes, oh Lord, you're giving me one more year. I very much thank you. And make a lot of resolutions. None of the resolutions kept by end of the year. What is use of making resolutions? Then, always, you know, day of the Passover, we pull tears. Lord, I'm accepting your sacrifice. Help me to be faithful. Not once a year. You see, it has to be done daily. Daily, you see, we need to, you see, carry the cross and remain faithful to God. Yesterday, I sent one text, no? Everybody read. How many of you read? A letter from God. How many of you read? Nobody read. Nobody read. Did anybody read or not? Nobody read. Gopal brother? Not read.
Oh, sorry. No, brother, sorry.
Kindly read. Okay? Very, very important. That is actually written by Brother Russell in the reprints. Okay, read the beautiful, you see, things he has written. You see, wonderful. Ashish brother has read. Good, thank you, Ashish brother. Read. See, when we share something, it's very important. I don't usually share something waste and all. Anyway, after this one, you read. What God sees in us. You see, He is expecting us to perform in action, to bring everything in action. Why? Because He has sent His Son to die for us on the cross. If He would have just like us thought everything, oh, everything will happen, oh, no problem, everything in imagination, if He wouldn't have put everything in action, what would have been our conditions? Okay, so the new creation, when actually it will benefit, when the engine moves. Current, wire, everything is there, but engine doesn't move means, if the driver doesn't move the lever, how the engine will run? How the train will go forward? So, carrying the cross daily. Daily we need to sacrifice. Sacrifice. Remember, always consecrated, the main condition is to sacrifice. Sacrifice means what? Giving out our preferences. You see? Giving out our, you see? Our precious time. Things which are liable, legal for us. You see? These things we are living for the Lord. Like for example, I really appreciate you all. You see, today when I requested everybody to come early, at least you came a little bit of early. See, that's You see, what that is sacrifice. You see, that is the sacrifice, Devadren. You do. Okay, I'll share. Ashish Bhadra shared. Anyway, I'll share it in your on the 1 minute. I think I'll share it on the screen itself. 1 minute. Okay, let us read that one. Okay. Who can read? Anybody who wants to read? Anybody who can read? Oh, nobody wants to read. Okay.
Brother.
I'll read. Okay. 1 minute.
Okay.
You're able to see, brother? Go, brother, you're able to see?
I'll read the from WhatsApp, brother. No problem.
Ah, then good. Okay, good. I'll stop sharing then. Okay, read, brother, please.
Are you too busy? As you got up this morning, I watched you and hoped you would talk to me, even if it were just a few words, asking my opinion or thanking for me. Something good that happened in your life yesterday. But I noticed you were too busy trying to find the right outfit to wear. When you ran around the house getting ready, I knew there would be a few minutes for you to stop and say hello, but you were too busy. At one point, you had to wait 15 minutes with nothing to do except sit in a chair. Then I saw you spring to your feet. I thought you wanted to talk to me, but you ran to the phone and called a friend to get the latest gossip instead. I watched patiently all day long with all your activities. I guess you were too busy to say anything to me. I noticed that before lunch you looked around. Maybe you felt embarrassed to talk to me. That is why you didn't bow your head. You glanced 3 or 4 tables over, and you noticed some of your friends talking to me briefly before they ate, but you didn't. That's okay. There is still more time left, and I hope that you will talk to me yet. You went home, and it seems as if you had a lot of things to do. After a few of them were done, you turned on the TV. I don't know if you like TV or not, just about anything goes there, and you spend a lot of time each day in front of it, not thinking about anything, just enjoying the show. I waited patiently again as you watched the TV and ate your meal, but again you didn't talk to me. At bedtime, I guess you felt too tired after you said good night to your family. Plopped into bed and fell asleep in no time. That's okay because you may not realize that I'm always there for you. I've got patience more than you will ever know. I e ever want to teach you how to be patient with others as well. I love you so much that I wait every day for a nod, a prayer, or a thought, a thankful place in your heart. It is hard to have a one-sided conversation. Well, you're getting up once again. Once again, one will wait, with nothing but loving you, hoping that today you will give me some time. Have a nice day. Your Creator God.
Beautiful letter, no? Certain times in our life, we do the same thing. Early in the morning, just wake up. We don't even offer prayers. Immediately go to our routine work. We try to keep on searching our clothes. Spend a lot of time in ironing them. You see, take time to eat our meal. When everything is done, we have a certain bit of time. Instead of offering our prayer, going to the Lord, having communion with Him, we'll just sit on a chair and spend time. We got all these things. And we'll think what thing we can do now. I'm just sitting lonely. There's a lot of time. So take the mobile, search things. You see? Huh? So try to contact our friends and relatives and just chit chat with them. You see? But even then, we don't take time to have communication with God. Communion with God. Then when we're sitting for food, how many of us offer prayers before we have our meal? Even when we are sitting in the hotel, we'll think, oh, others will see and they'll think somewhat about us, we'll feel shame, so we don't even offer prayers. God will say, okay, no problem, you feel ashamed before everybody about me, no problem, okay, I'll have patience. You see? But others will pray. Others, Christians, they will pray boldly, but we don't want to just stand for our God before everybody. Then we come to the home, we have time to see TV, other programs, all the other activities. Night comes, we don't even have family prayer, don't even read the Word of God, songs in the night, just pop up to the bed, stay to God, I'm tired, God, thank you very much. Just sleep. Again, the same day, same routine. But think about God is daily waiting for us. He hasn't expressed his anger towards us till now. The Bible says, you see, nobody can stand before God. You see, he's a consuming fire. You see, but yet, he's very patient towards us in spite of all our weaknesses. Why? Because the powerhouse energy is there. He's giving out the energy, thinking that some other day the driver will move the lever. He'll try to move the engine forward. Okay, dear brethren, we'll stop here. So may God give us grace that in coming days we prove more faithfulness to God and try to, you see, put some things in action in our life. Okay, may God add his blessings to these words. So in the